did you learn the fate of the three crew members who were executed?
I don't think till about 1986. I got a letter from Walter. Walter wrote me a letter. I think he wrote everybody a letter. He wanted to know more about, asked me a lot of questions. That guy had all the serial numbers of every plane that was shot down, every crew member, everything, the research man did. But the first
time... started every crash thing, too.
I think after the war, I had a lot of trouble with mentally and physically. I was in bad shape. And I went to psychiatrists, had electric shock treatment and all. And the psychiatrist wanted to find out what happened, so he had Dee write a letter to Jim Bainham. And I think that's when I first knew that we'd even gone off course. Mm-hmm. And this whole mission was a disaster. And then that's all I knew about that. Didn't know anything about anybody being dead. I think it was 1986 when I found out about the three fellows being murdered. And we started started to put this stuff together and writing back and forth. And we got some information all through Walter.
What was your reaction? Did you think, oh, those, you know, bastards, or, you know, what, when you learned that?
Well, I was just shocked, of course. I was shocked that they were killed like that. I thought they were killed in the plane, all the ones that were dead. See, this Bird was killed in the plane, I think, and then the other three, I assume, were either killed in the plane, or were killed in the plane.
Yeah.
Because they were up in front. I thought I was the first one out, but I don't know, but Bird, some of them might have gone out for me. Well, what I don't understand is why we didn't have any communication, intercom going. I don't understand that. It must have been shot out with the very first plane that attacked us. Must have got a hit on our whole communication system, because it was nothing.
And you said the plane was on fire already when you saw the...
When I came out of my turret.
Yeah.
See, I'm facing the opposite of, I don't see much of the airplane.
Right.
It's all ahead of me. But when I knew I had to get out of the turret, I was sick, I was hurt, and the turret was dead. I couldn't shoot it anymore. It was badly damaged. So I turned around and started out, and I saw it, looked up there through the bomb bay, and you can see right through.
And you didn't hear any other gunners firing?
See, you have your headsets on.
Now, tell me about your treatment in the hospital. You said it was good?
It was better than you would think. It was good. No abuse of any kind. The whole hospital was run by Dunkirk and Dieppe English prisoners of war.
Really?
You know how they were trapped
when
France collapsed. They couldn't get back across the channel. Well, there happened to be in among it a medical group. Doctors and the enlisted medics and all. And they were all taken prisoners, and Germany utilized them by putting them in this hospital. And the doctor I had was a captain, a young captain. He still peaked pink cheeks. I don't think he was 25 years old. But he was a good doctor. And they took care of us with the very limited facilities and supplies and food that they were given. And then about once a month, the German doctor would come around and review the cases with the English doctors. And the medics, they had to do everything, wipe our butt and everything else for a while. I mean, Howard Bolt and I were in terrible shape.
And why is it that you lost so much weight?
There wasn't much to eat, and what there was so bad I couldn't eat it. The bread had green mold around it and was real heavy and black and tasted like it was made out of sawdust or something. I don't know what the hell
it was. It was made with sawdust, I
don't know what it was made of.
Yeah.
And you just, and the coffee was the same. I don't know, it was a Herstatt's coffee. I don't know what it was made out of. It was horrible. And once in a while they'd get cheese, and I should have eaten more of that than I did, but I just can't stand cheese. So part of it was my own fault, but most of it was just wasn't much to eat. Everybody lost a lot of weight. But see, I was small. I only weighed about 128.
But even so, down to 65.
Yeah,
that's
pretty,
Did you smoke at the time?
I don't think we got, I don't know whether I ever got, I might have got a few cigarettes and given them to Bolt. Bolt smoked in the next bed. If I got any cigarettes, I would have given them to him. I'm not sure. We got a couple Red Cross parcels, but not many. I think the Germans held out some of those back.
Now, did they inform, I guess, the government that, or the U.S. or the Red Cross that you were POWs?
But somehow, they did Bolt. His wife was notified that it was a POW, but my mother, she wouldn't have got the letters because I was unmarried.
Right.
But never got a thing. All she got was letters missing in action.
For 8 months.
And we've never, ever figured that out.
Well, the Red Cross said that that they didn't know the Germans, they didn't notify people.
But they did Howard
Bolt.
They
did Howard, but they said most of them, until they got well and they went to regular prison camp, or until they died, then they notified them again. But they, in that interim period, they didn't notify when they were just in the hospital. So,
three things could have happened to you in that hospital. You could have got better and put into a SOG.
Right.
Or you could have died.
Mm-hmm.
Those four things could happen. Or there was a repatriation list. And one boy went home a couple months after I got there, and I gave him my address, and he actually wrote my mother a couple letters. He was, I've got the letters even. And, but I think I was on the repatriation list, but that didn't come up very often. But,
and what was the fourth thing that could happen?
Well, he could have died, I guess.
And how about, like a cup of coffee.
What? Oh, no, thank you. Didi, how about you during this time? What?
Well, I was in school. I was in college. And then I worked part-time. I sold World Book Encyclopedia.
Never
yet? Well, that was afterwards.
She wrote a letter to my address in England every day.
Mm-hmm.
From September the 27th. She kept them going until
May.
Every day, and eventually they all came back. But she kept writing.
I kept writing. The mailman told my mother, he said, "Why don't you tell that poor girl to quit writing? He's probably dead." And I said, "No, I don't. I'm a very religious person." And I said, "No, I think he's alive somewhere. Maybe with a nice family." He said, "You're a dreamer. You were a dreamer."
Well, a few times people landed in a parachute and were taken in by.
I just knew he was alive.
You knew you never doubted.
Well, she had to doubt it.
Well,
I mean, that was 6 months.
I know, but I had an awful lot of faith. We were
allowed to write a little
church.
Letter once in a while.
Uh-huh.
That folded up. You've probably seen prisoner of war letters.
Was that the V-mail or no? No, that wouldn't have been.
No,
the little thing just folds up for you.
See, I got whole albums of this.
Uh-huh.
All the letters and all that.
Yeah.
But no one ever sees it anymore.